The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Hot Tub. This episode, Elaine is having a marathon runner who is Trinidadian and Tobagan, or Tobagian, Toboganian, runner who overslept for the last Olympic Games. Jerry is obsessed with ensuring that he makes it to the race on time this time. Meanwhile, George is pretending to be frustrated at work, so people think he's actually busy when he's not. And also, Elaine is having writer's block for JP, the Jade Peterman catalog. And Kramer just got a new hot tub that is basically the entire size of his living room. What did you think of this episode?
This episode is, while it's not like legendary, I do enjoy it for one simple fact. This, if you ever want to know what it's like to be a black person in a white world, this is it. Like, yeah. looking at the marathon runner, Jean-Paul, this is it. Like, all Jean-Paul wants to do is race this race, and he gets involved with these white people, and fucking shenanigans ensue, and he can't catch a break. That's why I love this episode, because it is a snapshot of what it's like to be black in a white world.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's exactly that off. I really don't. I think that's that's probably true. You're just dealing with, like, could you guys just get it together? Could you just get it together? Like, I would just appreciate that. Just get it together.
Like, just a bunch of well-meaning white people
fucking up everything.
And you're just screwing everything up.
You're just making things overly complex that don't need to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is a microcosm. Like, it actually, that's a perfect way of saying it. The episode starts off with the three of them, Jerry, George, and Elaine in Monk's. And Elaine is talking about how she's got this house guest coming, and George is talking about how, you know, right now he just got promoted because Mr. Wilhelm fired the other guy, I can't remember his name. So promoted George into that position. So it's Mr. Morgan. So George is supposed to be much busier, but he's not, because the season hasn't started yet. So he has to pretend that he's busy. So he's come up with a strategy of looking really annoyed anytime anybody comes in to see him, so that they think he's actually busy. I feel like I've tried this before. I feel like I've definitely done this. And I feel like it works.
It absolutely works. It absolutely works. Sometimes you just gotta live your life like a fucking white man, right? Like, because George
has
George has a dream job, right? He works for the New York, a dream job for any New Yorker, right? He works for the Yankees, but all he has to do is just act mad, and then like he doesn't have to do it as much work, and like it works for him. Like yeah, it's at one point, like, yeah, it kind of works, but at the same time, like, nah, yo, you be mad all you want. You got a fucking job. Hurry up and you know, give me those TPS reports or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like my whole thing is I've implemented this not exactly in the just getting mad or pretending to be mad thing, but I hate corporate America, right? Like, that's, if you know anything about me, like, I hate it. I just hate that entire environment. It's awful. But I know how to work in that environment because it doesn't require a lot. It actually is quite easy to stay afloat and do well, you just have to learn like corporate doublespeak, which is basically learning how to say nothing at all, all the time. And it's just like, that's what I do. That's my anger thing. I'm like, well, you know, we really need to synergize, like, you know, like whatever bullshit terms, corporate white people have learned at their last seminar. I just emulate those things, or, you know, or you like repeat back to them what they said, you know. Yeah, maybe we need to think about this. You know, I think maybe we need to sit down and marinate on this idea.
I think we need to table this conversation and table then circle it back around at a right. later date.
Right.
Let's talk offline about
talk
this.
Offline. It's true. None of it means anything. Yeah, you're just avoiding work, and they're just like, "Yeah, that right. this guy's like
the
nailing
whole
it."
Reason, the whole reason we're having this standing meeting every other Tuesday is to talk about this, and you want to table it and talk offline? No, dude.
Yeah,
like let's fucking like just let's try to bang out a solution now, or just admit you don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing with corporate America. Like you can't admit that you don't know, and right. you have to pretend like you're always working on something. Like even if you're not, I hate it. I just it's such a do nothing culture to me. Like there's a lot of talk, but it's such a do nothing culture.
Yeah, working from home for the next couple of weeks. Yeah, I had to do the same thing. I had to put out a 2 week look ahead of what I. You know, plan to accomplish. And it's just, you know, I it's like, fuck, now I gotta find different ways to say the same thing four times because I only do one thing, but I wanted a list of like four or five things.
Right.
And yeah, man, I hear it all the time.
Oh my God, it's so annoying. It's just so annoying. It's so stupid. Like, look, I'm gonna do whatever you ask me to do. Just leave me alone the rest of the time. Like, can I just say that? Can I say what reality is? Just leave me alone. But you can't. So Elaine also is having writer's block for writing for the J. Peterman catalog. She's trying to come up with a something to write about, come up with a story for the Himalayan walking shoe. In light of that, I'm going to read. Let me send this to you because I think you're better at reading these than I am. You can do your bullshit VO work voice. here is an actual J. Peterman story for some suede. What are these? These are suede Cheltenham boots. For $279. I just sent you the link here. So Micah can go ahead and read this this madness.
Oh, Jesus. Town and country. As we've evolved from savage...
I haven't read this, by the way. I just picked boots because everything in the J. Peterman catalog is insane.
As we've evolved from savage beasts into refined and obviously more intelligent beings that we are, clearly. You may forget the history behind the eye-catching perforations that adorn your boots, those that gave the traditional bourgeoisie their iconic appearances. Brogues. The fuck is a brogue? Brogue perforations were originally and pragmatically conceived as a way of shedding water when trudging through the bogs and marshes associated with England, Scotland, and Ireland and Wales. We've combined the traditional brogues with the classic derby boot in a luscious chocolate suede, resulting in footwear that effortlessly fuses town and country. Yes, they're perhaps too chic for bog trudging, but there's still the attitude that suggests you're up to the task. Suede Cheltenham boots number G1227, hand sewn and stitched by the exceptional UK shoemakers at Sanders. Suede leather upper, full leather lining, storm welt, and brown commando rubber sole for comfort. traction, and durability. Handmade in the UK. UK sizes. Yo, shut up. Shut up.
Oh, that might be a little too chic for bog trudging.
Bog trudging. No, these are real shoes you can buy. Yeah, that's super wild. But I have to give them credit. Every time we read these, they're so stupid, but it does, it allows them to have this unique thing about their catalog.
Yeah, I mean, they got a story to tell for every single one of these things.
Yeah, and they're all insane.
I can look at all of these.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They're just so funny to me. I can't believe this is a real thing.
Yeah, like when I found out that was real, I was like, how? Come on. No one would do that. That's silly. But in fact.
And it's someone's job to write these.
Yeah, probably several someone's. Like, there's probably a whole writing team, which is crazy to me.
Oh, shit.
Nuts. So we cut to George at work. He's given a piece of paper by Mr. Wilhelm, or a folder. And Mr. Wilhelm, you know, is like, all right, you know, get this done. We're over budget. And George is pretending to be, you know, really angry about it. And Mr. Wilhelm walks out, and George goes to swat a fly with it. And so Mr. Wilhelm sees him smashing the papers against the wall. So he thinks, like, George is really stressed, right? He's like, wow, this guy's working really hard. Kramer comes over. They smash cut to Jerry's apartment. Kramer comes over, and he's trying to fill his hot tub with Jerry's water that he just bought. He's talking about how he has like an internal alarm clock, and that he has no problem in waking up. He doesn't use alarm clocks. He doesn't believe in them, basically. Use an alarm clock. Does it actually work?
Yeah. So I used to keep an alarm clock like away from my bed, far enough that if I needed to turn it off, I would have to get up to turn it off, in hopes that would wake me up and keep me up. Yeah, no, that's all bullshit. If I want to sleep, I'm just going to turn it off and go back to sleep.
Yeah, you'll get up and you'll get right back in the bed.
Yeah. So I don't use alarm clocks now. But I use the alarm clock on my phone.
Like, oh, okay. I was going to say, you don't use any alarm clock?
No, I use the one on my phone, much to my wife's chagrin, because I have to keep it loud and annoying. And she's the type of person that likes her sleep. And now that our son is finally sleeping until a reasonable hour that a child should get up, she's back to sleeping like she normally does.
Look, screw both of you, okay? Because you guys are sleeping until 7:30. No, go fuck yourselves. No, we are still getting up at 5:30, which fucking sucks. Yeah, so like we have an alarm, but who cares? Like, it's irrelevant. We get up at 6:30, but we get up, we give her a milk and put her back down. So we wake up at 6:30, but no, she is up way before. like she has an internal clock, like Kramer does. She doesn't need anyone to tell her anything. That shit pops at 5:30 every day.
Nah, can't do that. Can't do that. Yeah. I need somebody to wake my ass up. And that's the thing. I don't mind getting up early, right? But, you know, if I don't have an alarm, I'm not going to get up early.
That's crazy. There was a time where I would just wake up naturally at 7 o'clock. Like, not even that long ago. Like, back when I was single, I would just wake up at 7.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, because you're a man and you got shit to do.
Yeah.
Like, not some lazy bum, right?
Yeah, I just didn't have a problem with that.
I used to be the same way. And now that, you know, I'm 40 and have a one-year-old, I need to recover.
Yeah, yeah, that's the problem. Like, what was I recovering from? Staying up playing Xbox?
Right.
No, I was fine. Like, get out of here. Staying up, falling asleep on the couch, like, watching TV, like, get out of here. So, yeah, I definitely need one now. I just use my phone. So Jerry meets Jean-Paul, and he's like, he meets him and he's like, oh, hey, man, you know, I heard about the last race. And, you know, we were trying to make bets on, you know, what was the reason that you overslept? And he's like, was it the AM, PM? Like, did you get that mixed up? Or was the, what was he saying? The snooze alarm? Like, you didn't set it? He's like, no, man, it wasn't the snooze, man.
It's no, a terrible it accent.
Yeah, it is. Interestingly enough, it's not the worst island accent I've heard in the last 24 hours. Oh, are you supposed to be Jamaican? How would I even know that? Oh, you're just saying "mon" at the end of your sentence. Got it. All right. Whatever. Yeah. You guys will find out about that later. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. So he's like, no, man, it wasn't any of that. It was the separate knob. Oh, separate knob. It's like, okay, this is the worst Trinidadian accent I've ever heard. So he's like, look, man, you gotta, like, look, I'm gonna help you. And Elena's like, I got it. It's fine. I got an old alarm clock. Everything will be fine. It works. And Jerry's like, he's getting anxious about it. We cut back. George is at the office. He's still pissed, pretending to give a shit. Then Jerry confronts Elaine. He's like, look, I don't trust you. I don't trust you to get this guy up on top. Like, I'm starting to freak out. I'm losing faith in you completely. Which is, again, these are very well-meaning white people fucking up this poor black guy's life.
Like, yeah, I was about to say, this is the most white people thing that white people can do. Like this guy doesn't know what is best for him and what should. But no, I feel like I have the right answer. Like, all right, your white man is showing.
Yeah, I like that they have a scene where Elaine goes to heat something up in the microwave, and she meant to do it for 20 seconds. She does it for 2 minutes, and they're like, oh, did you miss set the timer? And she's like, yeah. And even Jean-Paul's like, oh, no. Shit, she's fucking up. Yeah. So everybody starts, like, kind of freaking out. And
that sounds awfully familiar in this house.
Oh, does it? Do you?
Yeah, that happens to that not to me.
No, I figured, yeah.
But, yeah, it happens. Time to time.
That's funny. Why'd you put the popcorn on for 90 minutes? Or you could do like my grandmother. She didn't believe in setting a time for anything. She put everything to 99 minutes and 99 seconds, and then she would just take it out when she thought it was ready. She never used a specific time. No.
Women just refuse to follow the rules.
She was just like,
just refuse.
She was like, no, fuck that. I'm not doing that. It's like, you could just put 2 minutes. She was like, I don't know what's going to be ready in 2 minutes. I'm like, but you're going to take, you know what? All right, grandma, you got it. You got it. You fucking got it. So at this point, George gets an assignment to, meet up with guys from the Houston Astros to talk about interleague play, and he goes out drinking with them, and they're like real shit kicking guys from Houston, and they're just like, hey, you son of a bitch, that bastard, blah blah blah, and that's just how they talk. And so George goes out drinking with them, and he's having a good time. Meanwhile, Kramer falls asleep in his hot tub and the power goes out, and he wakes up and it's like 50 degrees in the water, which would be horrible.
What is your stance? The name of the name of the episode is The Hot Tub. What is your stance on these things? I'll tell you mine. They're gross.
Hot tubs?
Yeah, they're gross.
Public hot tubs?
Any type of tub, any type of body. And this isn't just like, ugh. Oh, I'm not going to like to swim. No, yo, like any type
yeah,
of
you're not
like,
going to drown in a hot tub.
No, you're not going to drown in a hot tub. But it's gross to me. Like, I feel like people sit in hot tubs and get hand jobs. You know what I mean? Like, it's just everybody's dirt and filth from the day is just sitting in there. And it just, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what happens. I have been in a hot tub, but I would like, they have hot tubs at like hotels.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get into a hotel hot tub without a cork and a condom, dude. Get out of here. Yo. That's disgusting. Right. Absolutely not. Ugh. Ugh.
I get it, man. The heat is supposed to kill whatever fucking semen is still swimming around after someone gives a hand job in there. But nah, yo, it just
people are definitely getting handies.
Right, yo.
Also, if you're a dude, say bye bye to your sperm count. Don't get in the hot tub. Like, that's not a good idea. No, that will deform your sperm. That is a fact. That is a scientific fact. They're pretty gross. Like, I would never buy one. Like, even if it was just me using it. No, I find them generally gross.
Yeah. It's like you're the bone in the soup. You know what I mean?
It's a petri dish. It's just heating up dirt and grime. It's disgusting. I mean, tubs are generally gross.
Yeah, I don't take baths.
No.
Baths aren't sexy.
No. Like, I'm sure if you put enough bubbles in it and you put the right music and chocolate-dipped strawberries or whatever for atmosphere in a movie, sure. But in reality, no. I don't actually enjoy it.
In reality, you skim those bubbles off the top and the shit is fucking brown. It looks like the water that's in your bucket after you wash your car. It's gross.
Yeah. Showers are far cleaner. They're just, it's literally knocking the dirt off of you onto the ground, away from your body. Yeah. You're just sitting in a bowl of disgusting soup. No, I don't like tubs. And also, like, that whole idea, like, ooh, sexy time in the tub. Tubs are never big enough. They're never big enough for two people.
They're never big enough. And look, folks.
I'm not that big. I'm not that big of a person. But I've never, I've been in one tub that was enough for two people. And that it was like a tub, hot tub kind of thing, right? Like in a hotel room, like in a private hotel room. But even that one, it took like 9 years to fill. It was a waste of time.
Yeah, it's not, and like, you can't do sexy time in a tub, man. You can't have a sexiful time in a tub because water is not a lubricant. It is a solvent. Like, it doesn't help anything.
No, but they do make lube, silicone base that is that will work in water. That part is true. However, I had to Google that because I was like, there has got to be a better way. This is awful. Like, ugh. It went from like, yeah, to what the fuck? Just get out. Also, like tubs sex, fine, whatever. Like, shower sex, we're like, oh, it's so high. I feel like I'm going to have a fucking heart attack.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it.
Fucking work.
Yeah.
It's hot.
And I'm sweating and pumping. No, I feel like I'm going to have a fucking conniption. I don't enjoy it at all. I'm like, can we just get out and go onto the bed, please? I'm going to die.
Movies got people fucked up.
Yeah, they think it's so hot, dude. No, it's not. It's not. No, I don't want to have sex in the shower. Like, I don't. Like, hey, cool. Like, yeah, making out in the shower, that's fine. No, you know, like, actual sex, no. Fuck off.
Yeah, I've only done that a handful of times, and I'm just like, yo, what? We can't. No. Plus, me and my wife have a very big height difference. Like, none of that. Yeah, that doesn't work, man. Yeah, none of it works.
Yeah, no.
I swear, yo.
Like, my wife is 8 inches shorter than me. That still in that environment is a massive height disparity.
You're in the exact wrong positions.
Yeah. No. If anybody tells you shower sex is great, don't believe them. Like, don't believe them. It's awful. Just lay on a bed, do it on a couch or a dining room table, whatever you're into, but not showers. They're awful. No. Or hot tubs, especially public ones. So George is on the phone with the Houston Astros guys and they're like, when are you coming out to Houston? And he's on the phone and Mr. Wilhelm walks in. He's like, our boys are going to come out there and kick your butts, you son of a bitch. And Mr. Wilhelm is like, George, you can't talk to people like that. You're too stressed. You're freaking out. Meanwhile, like, those guys love George. Like, they were exactly, what he needed. After George is talking to Jerry and Elaine about that, right? That he talks to them like, oh, you son of a bitch and stuff like that. And he loves it. Jean-Paul overhears it and he's like, oh, that's how people like show affection. So he goes to visit Elaine and he sees Elaine's neighbor who has a kid and she's single. And he's like, oh, look at the little bastard. Oh, look at this son of a bitch. And and she gets super offended, obviously, that he's talking to her kid like that. And meanwhile, like, I guess the landlord comes around and he's like, you need to get the hell out of here. And he's like, what's your problem, you son of a bitch? I'm just trying to be friendly. And he kicks the guy out. And so Jean-Paul has to go to Jerry's house. Meanwhile, Kramer is trying to get his core temperature up. Back at Jerry's house, Jean-Paul is staying there for the race because they went to a hotel and Jerry pissed off the morning call guy by like keep insisting that he get this right tomorrow. It's really important. The guy's like, yeah, fuck off. So he's like, he started freaking out. He's like, all right, we got to go back to my place.
The exasperated look on Jean-Paul's face at the hotel is that's when it hit me. I'm like, yo, this is what it is, yo. This is what well-meaning white people do, and it's still annoying. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, that's it. Just yeah. Yeah, when he's like, for God's sake, and he gets out of the bed. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's I've definitely said that. I've definitely made that exact face. Elaine realizes Jean-Paul is gone and she's freaking out and she realizes that he's at Jerry's. Meanwhile, Kramer's trying to get his core temperature up. And when he does that, the hot tub actually knocks out the power of the alarm clock. On her way to Jerry's apartment, Elaine has an epiphany. Cause you know, as she's walking through the city, she's writing this, she starts coming up with this idea that her feet are resilient, thanks to her Himalayan walking shoes. So she's like really excited and has this moment in the street where she's just like cheering, that she came up with something to write about these stupid boots. Jerry wakes up at 8:47, wakes up Jean-Paul. He's like, Jean-Paul, the electricity went out. And Jean-Paul is like freaking out. And they're trying to make the New York Marathon. He throws him all his clothes and they eventually get there. But as you know, Jean-Paul just makes the race, you know, he's like, oh, nice route, man. Like you made it. And so Jean-Paul is running and, Kramer and Jerry and Elaine are waiting and they see Jean-Paul. He's leading the pack. Like he's doing really good. I don't know if he's out in the absolute lead, but he was winning.
Yeah, he was winning
the whole thing, right? So yep. They're like, yeah, all right, Jean-Paul is awesome. You know that guy. And, even with terrible sleep, Jean-Paul is still doing well. And, Jean-Paul starts to jog close to the sideline, to get some water and he sees them and he grabs Kramer's cup, but it's actually coffee and he throws it, I guess, into his own face. thus scolding him. any other thoughts on this episode?
Yeah. If you ever wanted to know, you know, what's up with black people, why they mad all the time, like just watch this episode and you will know what it's like to, I'm not saying you people are bad, you white people, you well-meaning white people. I'm saying y'all need to just leave people alone. Stop insisting on wanting to help.
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody says like, I'm good, then they're good.
They're good.
That's all that. That's it. That's it. We don't need your help. It's annoying. Yeah. Okay. That's it for this episode of Airing of Grievances, and we will see you guys next time.
See you.
Bye. Bow, 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 bow.
Really?